Experience the next level of comfort and innovation with Beautyrest Black and Beautyrest Black Hybrid, available now at Carol's Furniture. With advanced support, cooling comfort, and timeless style, Beautyrest delivers the rest and relaxation you deserve. Right now, enjoy exclusive savings on Beautyrest Black and Beautyrest Black Hybrid collections. Feel the difference, live beautifully. Visit us at Carol's Furniture, 340 North Main in downtown Sheridan, and on our website at www.carolsfurniture.com. Find us on Facebook and Instagram.
Saddle Ridge Rehabilitation Center at Westview is your only Medicare 5-star rated and state deficiency-free rehabilitation facility in Sheridan County. It's where quality matters every day. We're here for all of your inpatient and outpatient rehab needs. We treat you like family in a beautiful country setting. Call us at 307-673-3734 for more information and to schedule a tour.
Hey, it's Yvonne with the Advocacy and Resource Center. Bikers Against Bruises is back, riding twice over the Bighorn Mountains. Early registration Friday, June 27th, 5 to 8 at the No Name Bar. Saturday, June 28th, meet at the Java Moon Station in Sheridan from 8 to 9 for coffee, treats, and the ride of your life. $20 per game. We will end the ride with food from Beano's and live music at the Last Chance Bar in Bighorn. All proceeds help victims of violent crimes in Sheridan County. Questions? Call 672-7471.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning, Wednesday, June 18th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by the Sheridan Police Department Chief, Travis Koltiska, and Captain Tom Ringling. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back.
Hi, Floyd.
Good morning, Floyd.
Now, Sheridan, a lot of special events coming up. They happen throughout the year, but no other season has events like the summer season. So how has the summer gone so far? There hasn't been, I mean, there's been some good events, but nothing too large as of yet.
Yeah, that's correct. Usually everything kind of coincides. I'd say the first large event is going to happen tomorrow, third Thursday. That's kind of the first, kind of the kickoff of the what we call the event season. You know, there are some intermittent events scattered throughout the fall and in the winter. You know, the winter rodeo is a prime example, Christmas stroll. But when would they really start picking up in frequencies? Kind of coincides with this time of year.
Mid-June, end of
yeah.
June.
And obviously it's weather related. You know, nobody wants to gamble or roll the dice on yeah. on a thunderstorm like we had the other day, which it happens anyway, it seems to. Mother Nature is pretty funny that way.
She's usually got a hailstorm in her pocket that she's ready
yeah,
to
let's
throw.
Yeah, let's just keep that to herself this year. I don't need to go through that again. I already had two vehicles fixed last year. My roof still haven't been done from last year. So, yeah, it's just, I think, you know, with the warmer weather and the less chance of having inclement weather, this is when the event season starts kicking off.
Now, when it comes to the role of the Sheridan Police Department, we've talked about it in the past. We do like to talk about it at least once a year. Where does the SPD fit in to what's going on when it comes to facilitating an event?
Well, you know, and that was something we saw back in COVID when some of those events were canceled due to COVID, is there were some comments made about, you know, why isn't the city having these events? The city does not host or have any of these events, these special events. They're always by a vendor of some sort, whether it's a local establishment or a private entity or a nonprofit. The police department's role is essentially when somebody wants to have a special event, they apply for a permit with the city. That's our only role, really, is approving a permit, because there are stipulations according, and it's all follows state statute. There are stipulations according to state statute on the dispensing and consumption of alcohol. So special event permits allow for us to modify, say it's a bar that wants to have an event outside of their normal operational plan. The special event allows them to do that with stipulations. So the police department's role is always safety and security, right? And so it's ensuring that when somebody applies for a special event, we review it, to make sure that there are safety and security measures in effect that will protect not only one, attendees, two, staff and employees of the event, and three, you know, the community, the property, the other, how will kind of material impact it will have on adjacent businesses. If it's a street closure, right, and they want to close at 7 in the morning on somewhere, well, what kind of material impact is that going to have on adjacent businesses that would normally be open for business, but now we're having some sort of restricted access to their businesses? Doesn't mean that we'll deny it, but we always try to take those things into consideration. You know, sometimes, and a lot of the events we have are kind of cookie cutters. They happen every year, same event each year. The businesses have adapted. And so that's kind of the police department and this, the police department's role. Engineering's involved, making sure that there's resources available, public works, fire, prefer access for emergency services. That's a huge one. I mean, if you're going to start gridlocking Sheridan, well, what if in the middle of it there's a fire at a building? We need to make sure that we can get a fire truck there. So those are the kind of things that we review when we review a permit.
Now, when people put in for this permit, do you generally like it when they come in and they kind of have answers for these issues where they say, hey, we have gone down and spoken with the businesses and they're in with us? Or
yeah, I mean, in any role, no matter what I'm doing, when people come to me, I'm like, bring me a solution with your problem.
Yeah,
because I'm more than glad to solve people's problems, but it might not always be the best way. And they do, especially with the, you know, especially for rodeo. That's our rodeo week. That's our big event for the summer. In fact, in the summertime, we tend not to look at a calendar really. We take events off in our head.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's evolved from a mess that, in all honesty, and times change, but it probably wasn't the most responsible event for the event holders to put on. Now it's for that week, we have three really well organized events.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Cat D's at the Mint Bar, it's putting on an event outside the Mint, and it's very well done. There will be the Grant at the Rainbow, it's on Alger. They're having a very well regulated event. And also, the warehouse will have a well-organized smaller event on North Main at their the Reef property. These events are smaller, so the event holders can focus on organizing it and making it safe and enjoyable for their patrons. Because we can only make recommendations, but what these organizations have really done a great job at is implementing the recommendations and also developing their own measures as well.
Yeah,
we've had no problems with them since COVID, really. Because what we don't want to do is have 25 cops in a group of 3,000 people.
Yeah.
Because we recognize it does probably increase tensions, especially when alcohol is poured into the equation. So now we have some extra people on. Maybe a couple, kind of like Third Thursday, a couple guys on, ladies and gentlemen on foot, walking through the event and saying hi to people and making sure they're okay, but also there to make sure the rest of the patrons don't have their evening ruined by a couple bad actors.
Yeah.
So we will intervene early, to solve any problems, hopefully without an arrest before they turn into larger issues.
Well, and when you see a couple officers walking through an event, you know, I know that everybody's opinions about certain things are here or there, but it always made me feel like, well, they're here because it's part of the community.
Yeah.
And police officers are part of the community, and it always made me feel better. Plus, it gives me a chance to shake a hand, thank someone for service, and just kind of move on. Maybe even have a conversation, because you know they're Sheridan residents too. They're just as vested in the city as we are.
They are, and we like doing it.
I can tell you it's a much more pleasurable evening for the officers if they don't have to make arrests.
Absolutely.
I can remember years gone by where I was on the Sunday of rodeo, still at the police department after working Thursday through Sunday night shift, still at the police department Sunday morning at 9 a.m. trying to just get enough base information that the courts could proceed with everybody on that Monday morning. And not having it even close to all my reports completed, just providing enough information because it was just kind of chaotic. And almost, there was really, people just thought it was, oh, this is our opportunity to just do anything we want and go hog wild. And that's not the way it is anymore. And that's kudos to all the event organizers, because that's not what they're doing. That's not the expectation they have. They're glad to have us do the walkthroughs to and anybody that's attended an event, they don't want to go there and have a chance of getting into a fight or getting knocked down because somebody else is fighting or having alcohol poured all over you or spilled all over you. They want to go and enjoy their evening and have a good time with their friends. So don't let anybody else ruin it for them, right? So that's why we're there.
Yeah. And it's one of those situations I got to ask, do you kind of plan for the worst and hope for the best when you look at these types of things?
Yeah, we definitely have contingency plans for if this happens, and we will do this, and if that happens, then we will do that. But in general, it's we do that for everything. We do that for Tuesday afternoon, really. I mean, it's just different.
Right. Yeah,
it's just different.
It's just more.
It's just different contingencies, and it's just more. We may have a couple extra guys on, but we're not canceling weekends anymore, and we're not. We don't bring officers in from other jurisdictions, maybe one or two, but we have grant money for that. So it saves a little wear and tear on our people, because like Chief said, Sunday morning's still going to come here and we still have to man the streets. It's like anything. It's like even during the middle of a critical incident, we still have to police the rest of the town.
Yeah.
So it helps us guarantee better, the same high quality of service. Because after three nights of that old silliness, we were done.
Yeah.
There's no sense of humor.
Yeah. But sometimes we had to come back we'd be on schedule for the next, for Sunday evening.
And it looks like 2 weeks of work.
Yeah.
Just straight through.
Yeah. So it's a much better system now. It's more organized. We look for ways to say yes. We're only going to say no to something if it's against an ordinance or statute or it's just silly.
Yeah.
I mean, dangerous to the community. But we will, and if we see something, then we'll address it and find a solution.
We often talk about kind of the way things were, a little rough around the edges during rodeo week, a lot of fights, a lot of incidences that would take place. Officers end up having to work long into nights and mostly into the mornings. What do you think was the fundamental shift there? Is it a cultural thing?
I 100% believe it is a cultural thing, not only in many different ways. And I think we've seen that cultural shift here in Sheridan, not only in the ownership of the establishments, but also in the attendees.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes to both sides. Rodeo is not looked at as when you say rodeo, wild rodeo, they don't think of the wild rodeo. Let me back up. That's the actual rodeo event itself may not be the first thing that comes to somebody who grew up in Sheridan's mind. They think of the street dance and the party.
Yeah.
That's shifted a lot to a lot of, and I think a lot of it is because as a whole that week, there's been a lot more events centered around family-oriented stuff. It was just the PRC rodeo and the street dance, and now there's all kinds of stuff that start off early in the week that are designed to get the families involved. And so that's kind of the, I think that's kind of been the genesis for a lot of that. But, all that, a lot of that is, kind of just a national, just naturally, organically evolved that way.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of been a shift in the culture of the city.
Like we discussed, our DUIs are down a lot from even 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's just people are not consuming as much alcohol or not as many people are consuming as much alcohol. And if they are, they're being responsible about it and they're not driving. Same for these events. They may be drinking more than they usually would, but they're having a good time and they're doing it responsibly. And the sheer fact that we rarely get involved tells me that they have a plan.
Yeah.
I know how to get home. Yeah. Or I've got a friend to, keep me in check a little bit. We want people to have we like having good times. I mean, cops, we're all C-minus students, aren't we?
Yeah.
We like watching people have a good time. We're incredibly proud of the city. I mean, right now, if you look around downtown, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, if you really want to be in a nice environment, if you're up at 3 a.m, just walk up and down Main Street. It is absolutely amazing with the flowers and the smells. And that's what we really want people to see, is the whole city. And that's why we value the partnerships with these events, is because it does bring people to town, and we can show off Sheridan.
And it's amazing for a town this large to have a downtown the way that we do. The rest of the town, you know, obviously great.
Yeah.
But that's really a big selling point. That's one thing we're always talking about that on the show with the different organizations. And maybe some people are like, boy, that gets old to talk about. But the fact of the matter is, travel around. It's rare.
They don't exist.
They don't exist anymore.
And that's what a lot of our visitors that I've talked to who are visiting from out of town are like, wow, we didn't expect this. This is like, you don't see this anymore. Mm-hmm. These things don't exist in other places anymore. And they're very, very few and far between. And it's a gem of this country, this little downtown Sheridan.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, when we're planning, you know what? I got to take a quick commercial break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the planning processes to some of these events with our own SPD. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
At Legacy Diamond and Gems, you'll discover a gemstone as rare as it is remarkable, alexandrite. Famous for its dramatic color change from emerald green in the daylight to ruby red in candlelight, alexandrite is a stone of mystery, magic, and transformation. Sought after by collectors and romantics and anyone who is drawn to its mystery, alexandrite is as dramatic as it is beautiful. Find your alexandrite stone at Legacy Diamond and Gems, 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
God bless the USA, where the right to bear arms will not be infringed upon. The Sky Blue Gun Show is this weekend at Metro Park. Friday from 2 to 7 p.m., Saturday 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday 9 a.m. to 2. Guns, ammo, optics, and more. You can buy, sell, or trade your way through this can't-miss show. Now offering chances to win various prizes all weekend long, including a gun. Bring your family to the gun show this weekend at Metro Park. See you there.
The Sheridan Farmers Market is back for another great season at Whitney Commons Park. You'll find local produce, meat, eggs, coffee, baked goods, and outstanding locally handcrafted items every Thursday from 5 to 7 p.m. starting June 26th and running through September 18th. See the best our hardworking local producers have to offer at the Sheridan Farmers Market, Thursday evenings in Whitney Commons Park, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media. And remember, please leave your pets at home.
At Sheridan Media, excellence is our standard, and the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters agree. We're thrilled to announce a sweep of recent awards, including Tommy and Bell for Best Radio Show, Kevin Coyle for Best News Reporter, and Aaron Linden for Best Station Promo. We also took first place for Best Photography and second place for Best Online Video. Our Active Reload podcast, Best Sports Reporting, and Play-by-Play with Aaron Lagaki. Steve Sisson won for his 90s at 9. We're especially proud that KWYO was selected Station of the Year and Julie Chadwick for Account Executive of the Year. Experience the best local media in Wyoming. Experience Sheridan Media.
Go Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, I'm with the chief of the Sheridan Police Department, Travis Koltiska, and captain of the force, Tom Ringley. Now, we're talking about events and the SPD's role within those events. This is something that we talk about every year. It's a great reminder for the community. This is who your SPD is when it comes to things that you're going to be attending. Now, Captain, how far out from, let's say, a larger event like the rodeo, does the SPD like to sit down with organizers and just touch base with these things?
That's a very timely question. Either within the last 2 weeks, we've met with the city clerk and the city administrator and department heads, and we did a quick review of our permit process. And there have been a few changes in regards to time for there are a ton of permits, open container permits, catering permits, but for a special event permit to where city streets are going to be used, conducted on city property, we are asking for 60 days at a minimum. And also in addition to that, we're re-implementing an insurance rider on the permit if it's held on city property so that the city will be indemnified. We've done that pre-COVID. And we really, since then, it's taken a minute to get the events ramped back up. We're having so many now that we've re-implemented that for new permits. Mm. But 60 days, and shouldn't be hard. A lot of these events are the same permit.
Yeah.
They just need to change the dates, and they have been so far so good. They've been really good about it. But from our point of view, if we get an event with 1,000 people expected with the permit, put in, you know, a week ahead of time, well, we probably need to figure out how we're going to staff that. So it helps with our planning.
Yeah.
And a lot of our planning is having enough people on duty. Part of our very good benefit packages is that our officers and dispatchers get time off as well. And they get vacation time, and they should be allowed to use the vacation time when everyone else does. So it helps us plan. We having something dropped in our lap is not ideal, and people have been pretty good about it as the years have gone by.
You know, and those in the service industry, and I'm going to count the PD and the sheriff's office as a service, because mm-hmm. that's exactly what you serve the community, all the way down to the busboy at the restaurant. You know, everyone else is out having a great time, and that's the time for everybody in service to get up and go to work. And I was that busboy, and I worked my way up to a manager of a restaurant. I spent my whole summer behind a grill, you know?
Yeah.
So it's one of those situations where if you can get people the time off so that they can enjoy the events in their town, get it done. And folks having that long 60 days before an event, that's not really that long. If you're planning an event that would include 1,000 people, that's a lot of work and logistics.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of resources that are involved in any kind of special event planning. And so it just gives us the opportunities to make sure that to review the plan, review the safety criteria, make sure that the resources we provide are proper and adequate for what we're trying to accomplish. And we understand that there may be the occasional, this country artist just happens to be swinging through town and called us and wants to do a concert. Yeah, I mean, we can understand those sort of things, but they need to be very infrequent, right?
Yeah.
It's not going to be this happened 4 times this week, you know, 4 different country singers decided to come through and do a concert in Sheridan. That's not a coincidence. So, yeah, we just need everybody to understand it does take a lot. There's a lot of behind the scenes stuff to make sure that these things go off safely, and that's a necessity to have that time.
Yeah, because we're always keeping in mind the community as a whole. You know, it may be cool for someone to make money tying up a city street, but that inconveniences those businesses and people that live here. You know, I often say the tourism is fantastic, but let's not forget the people who live here.
Mm-hmm.
Try to mitigate the impact to us, the residents and the businesses.
Some people don't take part in these types of things.
Yeah, a lot of them will tell you, hey, that rodeo weekend's my favorite time to go to the mountains.
Yeah.
Some will. Some that have been around a long
time.
And
I'll admit it, when I lived in Cheyenne, that's...
Frontier days, you were out?
You left town during that time. That was a good time to go camping. And it's
you know, I'm just not a crowds guy, really. And so I, yeah, just kind of decided to opt. And I attended plenty.
Yeah.
Got to see a lot of great concerts there, but I'm good to go. Now, so I can also understand that when we sit down and we look at the budgeting for something like this, we also have to keep that in mind. You know, it's leadership's responsibility to be fiscally responsible with the funds that are provided to them by the city. So when we look at funding this, there's a lot of grants that you can actually put into, isn't there?
We have two primary grants. One is called it's the underage drinking grant, and that allows us to, part of that allows us to staff special events to keep an eye out for underage drinking. And it also pays for some source investigations and other events like high school football games.
Yeah.
We can get an officer up there. The other grant is a traffic grant that's administered through YDOT, and that's either the impaired driving grant or what we call a seatbelt grant. So for special events, we would, if we bring extra officers on, it would either be on the underage drinking grant for the foot patrol aspect side of things, or the DUI grant for extra increased traffic visibility.
Now, Chief, when we look at those grants, do those cover all the costs for these special events?
No, absolutely not. No. They're, I can tell you, they do play a substantial part in that. But no, there's other costs. I mean, if you just break down the most of those overtime costs are borne by the city of Sheridan when it comes to Sheridan police officers. But it's this extra duty help. It's not 100% of the time. I mean, sometimes we're able to take off-duty officers. When we were canceling days off, we were able to take off-duty officers, utilize those grants for that as well. But there's still costs associated with the rodeo to the city of Sheridan.
Yeah.
Or to any special event. I don't want to isolate rodeo. Yeah, it's the biggest one. That week's the biggest one. But for other events throughout the year, there's always cost to the city.
Well, we got to keep a lot of things in mind. To keep a patrol car going, you need the shop, you need the fuel, and you know, you could, when it comes to budgeting, you've got to throw in certain things like licensing,
mm-hmm.
and things like that, and on top of it, so it's another cost to all of it. Now, what are some, just real quick, what are some good questions that event planners should have in their pocket if they're going to have a meeting with you when it comes to planning, or do I need an extra officer? What are the numbers?
That's a great question, because a lot of them are kind of answered in the permit themselves. It talks about what do we need for our own staff for security, like what kind of security can they provide, and a lot of them do that. They'll hire a firm. What kind of facilities are available, either through like what vendors provide porta potties versus will the city provide, who's main points of contact, how do we communicate any kind of potential changes or any unforeseen events that happen, establish that communication line. So some of those questions, and a lot of it's like, you know, when they're talking about how will this impact emergency services and resources. You know, we're going to have a large event. What can we do to help minimize that through how we set up our event to allow access, and those sort of things. Those are kind of the general, some good questions generally.
And it's a great thing to keep in mind. Even the idea of getting emergency services through a crowd, if you needed to, that didn't cross my mind until having a conversation with you just now. If I was planning an event, I've got to keep that in mind. How are we going to get an ambulance through here? I don't want to cost someone something.
If you've got your barricades set up a certain way and your stage is here and you've got maybe a couple bars, the things that are immobile or take a little bit of time to move or set up, and it's completely blocking your access. So like that input, they seek that input from us as well as like, how can we set up to make sure that their emergency service vehicles can, emergency vehicles can get through there if they need to?
So a lot of times it's kind of almost, for lack of a better term is what I'll say, a consulting, where it's like, Chief, what do you think? Where should I put this? Can I put this there? Now, that's not your responsibility, but you can simply advise.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Is there anything you would like the public to know about the upcoming events or things that we should keep in mind?
No, a consistent theme with us is we are here to, part of our job is to help enhance quality of life. That supports the city mission statement, and people should go out and enjoy all of our local businesses and all of our local events and thoroughly enjoy them, but just please do so responsibly and do it with a good plan to get home safely.
Absolutely. Captain, Chief, thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It's always a pleasure talking to you. And you know, we may talk about this every year, but I learn something every single year when we do.
We do too.
Thank you.
Thanks,
greatly appreciate you. All right, when we come back, we're going to speak with the City of Buffalo. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
The City of Sheridan Weed and Pest Division would like to remind the public that mosquito prevention is a community-wide effort. Please remember to drain standing water, dress appropriately, and apply mosquito repellent, especially during the hours around dusk and dawn. For more information, to report heavy concentrations of mosquitoes, or to request that your home be in a no-spray zone, please call the mosquito hotline at 307-655-8297 or visit the website at www.sheridanwy.gov.
Have you ever considered a gift certificate to Eye Care of the Bighorns for someone who has vision correction? Many companies don't provide eye insurance, which makes the burden of annual eye exams and glasses or contact lenses an out-of-pocket expense. Eye Care of the Bighorns also carries your favorite sunglasses and athletic eye protection from names you love, like Maui Jim, Costa, and more. Stop by Eye Care of the Bighorns or call 307-674-0444 today.
Hi, I'm Taylor, front of house manager at Fraggletons. You know, every day on Main Street brings new faces and familiar friends through our doors, and each one deserves something special. At Fraggletons, it's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Our team is here to make sure every bite, every sip, and every moment feels just right. Whether you're celebrating a big day or just enjoying the little things, we'd love to be a part of it. It's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Book your table now at Fraggletons.com.
Oliver, Oliver, never before has a boy wanted more. Oliver, Oliver,
well, ask for more when he knows what's in store.
There's a dark, thin, winding stairway without any banister, which will throw him down and feed him on cockroaches served in a canister. Oliver, Oliver, what will he do when he's turned black and blue? He will curse the day somebody named him Oliver.
Mr. Bumble, do stop blustering and tell him the news.
Come now, Widow Corny, I'm on it. A live performance of the musical Oliver Jr. will be presented by Wild Play and Tandem Productions, featuring 60 young local performers.
Don't miss performances at the Wild Theatre on June 18th through 21st. It's a tale full of art, drama, and, well, some ungrateful little boys, if I do say so myself.
Tickets are selling fast. Faster than you can say.
Please, sir, I want some more.
More? Visit the Wild Theatre box office at wildtheatre.com. Today.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For a second part this morning, I am joined by Buffalo City Clerk Treasurer Julie Silbernagle. Good morning, ma'am. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Oh, it's been a while since you and I got to talk. How's the weather?
Oh, it's a beautiful day, but the cotton is flying. It's time to go fishing.
It is. The other day, I had the people show up. They mowed my lawn. It was beautiful when I came home. By the time I went out there with the dogs, the entire thing was white. It looked like there was a frost over the entire lawn. And that's just from that cotton blowing in the wind. There is a lot of it out there.
There sure is.
Now, jumping right into it, ma'am, was it last night that the Buffalo City Council gave third reading on the budget?
Yes, we did. We've wrapped up all of our readings of the budget, so that will take affect July 1st. It goes into effect with our new fiscal year, which starts July 1st. And that requires three readings on that budget ordinance. So we've had the last three council meetings, we've been reading the budget ordinance, and there were no changes from first reading through the second reading, or through the third reading, sorry.
Ma'am, how often in the past do you remember any changes coming up? Is that a typical thing, or do they generally have a handle on it by the time they do first reading?
You know, I always feel like we have a handle on it on first reading because I spend so much time preparing the budget. And then things come up, you know, and it's a scramble at the end to try to make sure that we have budgeted for everything, things that we, you know, may not have been aware of as we went into it. Things just come up. But this year it seemed to flow really smoothly.
When does Buffalo begin really sitting down and working on this budget as a council?
The council starts meeting like the last week of March, and we actually meet a couple times a week, couple mornings a week at 7 a.m., which when we first set those budget meetings, we've moved them around. We've had them at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We have them in the evening. But they just seem to be more productive, and council actually doesn't mind coming in at 7 o'clock and sitting down with their department heads and going over their needs. Something that has helped in the last couple of years, we've implemented a pay scale for all employees, so that takes some of the arbitrary, you know, numbers that get thrown out there, that takes it out of there. There's a nice formula, and council just decides if they can afford to grant a step on the pay scale or if they're going to freeze it that year. So that's been wonderful. It really makes that budget process go smooth.
Really adds, well, I guess I could say takes away another step, another set of numbers that you got to look at, and then it just comes down to the brass tacks of whether or not you can afford it.
Absolutely.
When does this have to be completed?
So the budget has to be passed by the end of June. Much like the federal government, you can't, you know, start into the new year if you haven't passed your budget. So we pass that by the end of June. Our third reading is typically the second council meeting in June. I don't think we've ever had to call a special meeting to, because council has not been able to agree on the numbers. But I do know other communities that have had to do that, and that is nerve-wracking.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Now, just a quick question. As the city clerk treasurer, I think everybody who lives in Buffalo knows you've been doing this job for a number of years. You really know what you're doing in there. What kinds of impacts, if any, to the city budget came as a result of the decisions made at the state level this year? Did you see any?
Well, I think we're still waiting to see the effects of that. But council did trim some of, when we trimmed a lot of budgets, but to funding for outside agencies, right off the bat, we cut the allocation to outside agencies, the dollar amount, by 25% to match that 25% reduction in property taxes. Mm. But I am seeing that our sales tax has been pretty healthy right now, and so I'm anticipating that to maybe level out or make us whole between the property tax cut. But that doesn't address, you know, at the legislature, they didn't fund money for some capital improvement projects. So that will, of course, affect us because future planning, we won't have funds to do some of our projects. We'll have to find other sources or just defer the maintenance or repairs to things. Also, we don't know what's yet to come in this next legislative session and if the cuts will be deeper.
Yeah. Yeah, and I've seen a couple of news stories that, you know, kind of hint at the fact that it may be quite deeper. Now, the city has been working with YDOT. They've been doing a lot of great work over there. You know, I will admit, excuse me,
Every time I think they're done with my street, they got something else going on out there. But they make it easy for me. It's not that tough getting in and out of this city. I might just have to slow down for a block or two. It's not bad at all. How are things going up on Main Street construction?
Well, we are really pleased with the progress that they've been making and the traffic flow that they've kept going throughout the project. Our downtown businesses have raised concerns that, you know, when the construction was downtown, it did affect their sales. But we're open now downtown, and people, you know, can get down here. So I just encourage everybody to get down there and shop in those local businesses. But YDOT has done a fabulous job of keeping us informed of what where the construction is going to be and the new developments. For example, we just got an update this week that on South Main Street, they're going to be putting in a box culvert on Cemetery Creek. So they've done a detour, and there will be one-way traffic, and there's a signal to help you navigate through that. But that culvert is scheduled to be in place and back to normal travel patterns by the time school starts, so that's a positive. And then the Fort Street intersection is, they've poured a lot of concrete, but now they have a middle section of concrete to pour, so they are going to split the traffic, so you'll be traveling on either side, you know, eastbound and, or northbound and southbound, but they'll be on the east and west sides there. There is a water main that is being installed from Fort Street to Hart, and that has been installed up to Foot Street, and then that will continue to head north with the service lines being connected to that. So it's going well. It is construction, but traffic still goes back and forth down that street.
And a lot of things going on the Buffalo streets right now. It's got to kind of be a breath of fresh air when all of this is done. You guys have replaced a lot of streets over the past, I'd say, 6-7 years, maybe longer.
Yeah. Yep. It's an ongoing thing, though.
It's never ending, right?
Right.
Like dishes at the house, man. Every time I show up, there's more to do.
Right.
Now, are there other city capital construction projects that will be taking place this year? You said that maybe not as many as usual next year. What are we trying to get done while the funding is there?
So we're actually, you know, these construction projects, it feels like they take forever, and it's a lot of money. It's a big part of our budget. Last year, we had a much larger budget at over $17 million, about $17.5 million, and this year we're coming in just under $13 million, and that is because many of our capital construction projects are, we're wrapping them up, and they just take, you know, multiple years to do some of these projects. The wells project, we have drilled 7 wells that are going to be an supplemental water supply and an alternative one should our water supply get compromised. And so those have been drilled, and we are connecting them to our water treatment plant. And then we have a business park on the east edge of town that we are doing some site clean up there, you know, to make it more attractive for economic development and have a nice business come in there and utilize that space. And then on Sunset, we've replaced the water and sewer lines, and that road has been paved, so there's just some punch list items there that we're cleaning up. We replaced the water meters throughout the town. That we just have a few left to finish on that, and that was part of the there's a lead and copper rule out there where you have to do an inventory of all your service lines and make sure that they are free of, they can't be lead pipes and they can't be galvanized pipes. So we were able to accomplish that at the same time as putting in all the meters. And then we will have a 600,000-gallon tank that needs some repair. The structural steel in the ceiling needs to be replaced, and then it will be sandblasted and recoated. So that is yet to come. And I just kind of wanted to pivot here a little bit with that meter replacement. We also have WaterScope is the program that we use that you can go online and you can now see on a daily basis how much water you're using, and if you, it kind of flags if you have any leaks, or you know, if you've, as the sprinkler runs, you can see where that the sprinkler had run and for how many hours, or if it was just, you know, a half an hour. You know, everybody has different zones set on their sprinklers, but it's a really, really good tool. And if anybody is wanting to track their stuff, they can just get a hold of us, and we'll give them a couple numbers. You know, you need your customer number and then another number, and it, you just log in, and you can watch how it's how you're doing on your water consumption. And it's really great, like, if you're out of town and you're just a little bit worried, like, you can check your own water consumption. So
that's actually pretty incredible. Now, I raised a daughter, and I could only imagine some of the parents out there with teenagers probably going to be pretty surprised when they check that water usage.
Well, you know what is amazing is how much a running toilet uses. And you get so used to just hearing that noise that
yes.
you don't even think that that's the problem. And it's just a toilet running. How bad can it be? But it really can add up to water consumption.
And, you know, that's great that you say that, because I ended up having to replace some internal parts to a toilet not very long ago, that same problem. And I'm glad you said that, because it's very common. And you're right. People just kind of dismiss that noise. Well, it's just the toilet running. We're going to have to fix that later on. Not realizing how much money they're truly spending.
And it's so wasteful. It's going down the drain.
Literally going down the drain. I don't have a whole lot of time left with you, but one thing that I did want to ask, ma'am, a water rate structure change has taken place. Can you give us a brief explanation of that change?
Sure. So the base rate, it was $39.75 a month for the water portion of your bill, and that allowed for 10,000 gallons. The council has dropped that to 5,000 gallons for the same $39.75, and then the overage charges, the next 5,000 gallons are at $1.50 per thousand, which would be $7.50 for the next 5,000 gallons. And then after that, it's $2.20 per thousand. Compared to, we had a much more complicated, the levels, while it was a smaller price, every 10,000 gallons you were jumping in price. We did this to be more in line with what the rest of the communities. We compared 29 municipalities across Wyoming and saw that we were very much giving water away and really weren't doing anything to promote water conservation. So we're just being mindful of the water that we do have and how best to use it for our community.
Ma'am, if folks have any questions when they get that bill, can they just come into the city hall and visit with you or give you a call so that they get that explanation?
Yep, we're all ready here to explain your bill and help you utilize that WaterScope tool that I was talking about. So,
fantastic. Now, Sheridan's Kendrick Pool is closed. I talked to the mayor a little bit about this just before the pool opened. The pool's open now, correct?
Our pool is open. It's open daily, 11 to 7, weather permitting. But I do want to put this out there that if the temperature isn't going to get over 70 degrees for the day, the pool board has implemented that we don't open the pool on that day. We just it's really expensive just to put all the guards out there for nobody to come down. So on those days, it doesn't open. And then, of course, when there's lightning, you know, everybody's out of the pool. You can't be in the pool when it's lightning. And then they kind of track it. They do have some lightning trackers and stuff, and just to see if it's moving out of the area. And then we can continue to keep the pool open or if it's going to close for the day. And then I should mention on June 27th and 28th, there is a swim meet, so the pool will be closed on those 2 days, June 27th and 28th.
June 27th and 28th.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one more thing. I've only got about a minute left with you, but tonight is going to be the Farmers Market debut for the year, correct?
Yes. Well, they started June 4th, actually.
So oh, did
June
they?
June 4th through August 27th from 5 to 7 at Crazy Woman Square in downtown Buffalo.
And that's a great event. Head on down there. True Farmers Market. You can pick up your boy just about anything. It's been a while since I visited, but I imagine the wife is going to throw her arm around me and get me down there for the evening just to kind of see what's up this year. Of course, Longmire Days is going to be happening again this year, correct?
July 17th through the 20th.
So everybody who's a big fan of that, and I know there's a lot of them around here, head on over there. There's always events and kind of side stores, even if you're not able to get tickets. There's always something going on in Buffalo, folks. Ma'am, I want to thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us this morning. It is always a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you for the invitation. I appreciate it.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The Board of Directors of First Federal Bank and Trust is proud to announce DJ Dearcorn as our new president and CEO-elect. DJ will take over from current CEO Kevin Bailey, who will be retiring in January.
DJ has built a reputation of strong leadership, integrity, and commitment throughout his many years with First Federal.
As DJ, our management team, and staff lead us forward, we're excited for the future and grateful for the trust of the communities we serve.
First Federal Bank and Trust, community commitment, lifetime legacy, member FDIC.
Hey, it's Yvonne with the Advocacy and Resource Center. Bikers Against Bruises is back, riding twice over the Bighorn Mountains. Early registration Friday, June 27th, 5 to 8 at the No Name Bar. Saturday, June 28th, meet at the Java Moon Station in Sheridan from 8 to 9 for coffee, treats, and the ride of your life. $20 per game. We will end the ride with food from Beano's and live music at the Last Chance Bar in Bighorn. All proceeds help victims of violent crimes in Sheridan County. Questions? Call 672-7471.
Hello, everyone. This is Kurt Westland, voice of the Range War Rodeo, coming to you June 19th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, presented by First Northern Bank. It's free, family fun, rodeo action, including mutton busting. Come early for food, cold beverages, shopping, and live music. Buy a program, and you're automatically entered to win a Savage Rifle from Cornerstone Pharmacy. Gates open at 5, rodeo starts at 7. Don't miss the Range War Rodeo June 19th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds. A big thank you to our sponsors, MTR Ranch Supply and High Country Creative.
Oh, summer's here. Time to get your car ready for summer driving. Midas can help with everything from oil change to tires, steering and suspension, air conditioning, check engine lights. It's your one-stop shop for all things cars and trucks. This month, get free digital inspection when you bring your car to Midas and a voucher for $20 off any detailed service from Sheridan Auto Spa. Plus, special savings on brakes and struts. Get your car cleaned up and running great inside and out at Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Hi, this is Liz Kincaid, host of the video podcast called Sheridan County Ag Update. Join me each week as I visit with local folks about ag issues, rodeo, 4-H, FFA, and much more. Sheridan County Ag Update presented by Heartland Kubota and True Built Builders. You can find my video podcast each week and other interviews under the podcast tab on SheridanMedia.com. So join me, Liz Kincaid, host of Sheridan County Ag Update on SheridanMedia.com.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE. KROE.